thoughts on that?
This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia. Because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
Thank you, Chief. That was great.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our calling number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no pork eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How are ye?
I be great, and good to hear from you. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you. I am doing well. It was after this massive weekend of sports. I mean, it was what a great golf weekend. You had tennis, you had soccer. I mean, the golfing news, there was the PGA John Deere Classic in the Tri-Cities. It was the last tournament before the British Open, and some could qualify, and some actually chose not to accept the invitation to the British Open because of Chinese virus protocols. But in the end, saw veteran player Lucas Glover capture his first win in 10 years. The 40-something-year-old veteran came from behind. What a great win. He dominated Sunday, taking charge in the back nine with his ball striking, and his putter got hot. And that's been the biggest reason why he's not won is because his putting. But congratulations to Lucas Glover. It was his fifth tour PGA Tour win, his first victory in 10 years, and it was awesome. He gave a great interview at the end. It was really cool to see the guy, you know, see a seasoned vet win.
Yeah, a new name on the board. It seems like we have a different name every week. And kudo to Ryan Moore and Kevin Na. Two strokes under at 17 under.
Yeah.
They gave a good match. It was a tough course and fun to watch.
Yeah, Kevin Na, I tell you, what a bulldog that guy is. And Ryan, you know what? Ryan Moore, the biggest issue with him, he's had back injuries, and it's prohibited him from playing a full schedule. And this guy's been playing sporadically. He comes out and he, you know, finishes second place, and he actually contended for first during the whole day on Sunday. So good for him. He's overcome a lot these last 10 years as well.
Yes, very exciting. And we got the Senior Open as well.
Oh,
Jim Furyk, a name we haven't seen in a while.
The youngster Jim Furyk at age 51, man, he captured his first senior U.S. Open championship at the famed Omaha Country Club. That's a cool place. I played that course. That's a tough course. I mean, it's nice.
Imagine walking it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we were in a cart, and that was but you know, Furyk is a handful of golfers now, one of a handful of golfers who's won both the U.S. Open on the PGA Tour, and now has won the Senior U.S. Open Championship, and he joins the likes of Miller Barber, Arnold Palmer, and, of course, Jack Nicklaus. So that's and I want to say the guy from down under, from South Africa, Gary Player. So he's in good company.
Very good company. That's quite an accomplishment. So kudos to Furyk.
The guy shot a 64 on Saturday.
But he makes it work.
He shot a 64 on Saturday. I mean, in a U.S. Open, he shoots a 64. I mean, the rough was really penal, and the guy hits it down the middle, hits it on the green, takes his medicine, you know, which is a bogey here and there, And the guy plays freaking great. He led by four strokes going into Sunday, and he won by three at the end of the day yesterday. So that's pretty damn good.
Yep.
The European Tour, I don't know if you saw this, but it's the Scottish Open, and it's held a week before the British Open. It's customary that the Scottish Open plays a week before in Aberdeen, Scotland. The world's best golfers converge in the Scottish Open because it's a warm-up to the British. And you get acclimated to the time change, to the course change style, to a link style play. And, of course, the biggest obstacle for players is the weather. The 22-year-old phenom from Australia named Minwoo Lee defeated Matt Fitzpatrick and Thomas Dietrich on the first playoff hole to win his second European Tour title. This young man is going to be good. Just remember the name Minwoo Lee. The kid shoots a flawless, and I say kid, he's 22. He shoots a flawless 864 yesterday. I mean, and to boot, he's got some great golfing genes. His sister is an LPGA player. She's a really good player in her own right, Minji Lee. And I got to tell you, to have a brother and sister of this caliber of golfers, it is unbelievable. So, Al, remember the name, Minwoo Lee. This kid's going to be good.
And it is the week for siblings, because in NASCAR, you've got Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch taking 1 and 2. Kurt Busch passed his brother Kyle Busch with 24 laps to go and then won the race.
Yeah, there you go. And you know that Kyle Busch had to be pissed, even though it was his brother. But that's pretty cool. I like them both, man. They're both fiery individuals. The LPGA news as well in Sylvania, Ohio, saw a dominated performance by Japan's Nasa Hataoka. She was also 22. So 22-year-olds were dominating sports yesterday. She shot a 61 on Friday. That's 11 under. And she followed it with a 69. And then yesterday she shoots a 64 to win by 6 strokes. Unbelievable. What a win mm-hmm. by her. I watched some of that as well. Like I said, it was in golf heaven. And then also it was kind of a double-edged sword yesterday. The Wimbledon tennis finals featured Novak Djokovic and Italy's Matteo Berrettini. And in the end, Djokovic came back after losing the first set 6-7 to win the next 3 straight sets, 6-4, 6-4, 6-3, to capture his 6th Wimbledon title. And most of all, it was his 20th Grand Slam victory. And Al, he ties Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. I'll tell you, I love watching Djokovic play. I love watching him play tennis. He is one of the great ones. He is right there with Bjorn Borg, with Rod Laver, Pete Sampras, Rafael Nadal, and Roger Federer. I mean, I liked watching Federer, but I got to say, I have – whenever I see Djokovic on the leaderboard, I watch it because I love the way that guy plays. He is a great player. And, you know, he wins on the hard surfaces, but he's also showing that he can win on the soft surfaces like the French Open clay and Wimbledon on grass. So really a cool victory. The kid's good. The guy is good. And it's 20 major victories, Grand Slam titles. I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done.
Well, not bad for a 34-year-old Serbian. And, I mean, even Matteo Berrettini.
Berrettini.
Not Italian name's right. Berrettini.
Berrettini.
He was fast.
Yes.
That guy was quick. I mean, I thought he was going to win it. I really did. I thought his style of play was much quicker, more powerful. And but Djokovic, he survived.
Djokovic
That's
is
why
patient.
He's a champion.
His anticipation is fantastic, and he's a champion, and he's patient, and that's, you know, he kind of anticipated a lot, and he shook off the first set, and he comes back and he wins. And I think what he did was he broke the spirit, certainly by the fourth set, that he broke Berrettini's spirit. But got to give Berrettini a lot of credit, man. He did well, because yesterday, okay, I'm on the phone, iGuy, and he's really kind of pissed because the Italians are playing the Euro Final Cup against England, and they're down 1-0. He's pissed because Italy gives up a goal in the first 2 minutes, and it's like, so I'm on the phone with him, I'm going to get a pizza, and all of a sudden he starts yelling, and Italy scores, and it's like, now it's 1-1. But hold on. So the Italians score a goal after the 67th minute, and number 21, Leonardo Bonucci, even the score at 1-1, and it came down to a penalty shootout after the match ended in a 1-1 tie, beating England 3-2 when Italian goalie Gianluigi Donnarumma dove to his left and saved the decisive kick by Bukayo Saka of England in front of his home fans in Wembley Stadium. Italy wins the 2020 UEFA European Championship. It was Italy's first win since 1968. Italy has a record 34-match unbeaten run under their suave coach Roberto Mancini. Forza Italia! Unbelievable! It was absolutely spectacular. All right, Al, thank you for amusing me. Go Italy.
Well, when was the last time that song was played? How many years ago? To give an idea what a spectacular victory this was. What, 68?
1968 was the last time they won the Euro Cup.
How about that?
That was awesome. It was awesome. So I want to say thank you to iGuy. We share an Italian moment, and man, he was so pissed about that goal. It was funny. It wasn't funny because Italy has been dominating the whole Euro Cup, and he comes back and while I'm on the phone with him, all of a sudden he starts yelling, and it's like, what happened? What happened? He goes, hey, Italy scored.
Yeah, we were eating Mexican food out on their porch, and then heard the screaming. So, hey, something happened, and that was it.
Yeah, it was great.
And then the mayor of England, that a-hole, Mr. Khan, said that England would never make it to the finals without foreign players. Proven wrong. What a dick. So he gets the dick award. Mayor Khan.
I'll tell you, what is wrong? You know, and this is the problem with the pride, okay? You know, you have to play that identity politics. You know, what about just the pride of the country? It just absolutely, what a jerk. You're absolutely right. He gets the dick award. You know, that's exactly right. Mayor Khan job of London, England. What a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to ruin it for the guy. I mean, look, England played great to get to that point, and you can't take anything away from him. And for crying out loud, you have to have this stupid mayor. And you know what? Mayor Conjob is a great name for the guy. And then lastly, with regards to sporting news, President Trump made his way to Vegas on Saturday. He made a presence at the UFC fight. To see Colin McGregor and Poirier, but he was met with some great chants, and the crowd broke into USA, USA, and it was really cool to see that. So, and unfortunately for Colin McGregor, I think this might be a career ender for him. He had a vicious leg injury, breaking his ankle, and when he took a step back from trying to stop being, you know, to avoid a punch, and it was, wow. You can watch it on YouTube, but it's kind of squeamish. It's like, But
he had an outstanding career. But yeah, and you didn't see it reported anywhere on CNN or Fox, but President Trump, he did get a roaring ovation. It was fantastic. Near the place, like you said, breakout in USA, gave me chills. It was wonderful.
It was, and President Trump was with Mrs. Trump, Melania, and they were being escorted to their seat by UFC President Dana White. So there's mm-hmm. plenty of Patriots out there. They were in Vegas. The place was packed. Yet another sellout for Colin McGregor fight, and unfortunately, Colin McGregor is probably done. But hey, he's actually positioned himself very well to be to get into some sort of announcing or some sort of PR type of broadcasting. So,
believe me, he knows entertainment. He knows how to work a crowd, and the guy has charisma.
Yeah,
that's all there is to it.
Exactly.
Love or hate him. The guy's a good fighter.
You know what? You hit the nail on the head. Charisma. He's got it. You're absolutely right. That's a really good description. World news, of course, we've got the protest in Cuba and the assassination of a Haitian president. And I'll tell you, this administration's pretty pathetic. The Biden regime, Biden put out a message and with regards to the protests in Cuba. And I think as Senator Rubio stated, this administration wants to make it sound like their people are uprising. Oh, I'm sorry. Baghdad Bob Jensaki was trying to spin this as a spontaneous uprising, like she spun in Benghazi. Like it was a bunch of guys out for an evening walk, as Hillary Wright Clinton said, it was a spontaneous uprising. Buffoon Biden blaming it on COVID, or at least alluding that the reason why people are protesting is because of the pandemic and being secluded or sequestered to their home. And it's like, really? I mean, come on. The issue is not the Chinese virus. The issue is really simple. It's 60 years of communist oppression, 60 years of communist suppression and imprisonment that's come to a head. It's not the pandemic. It is not a sudden uprising or spontaneous uprising. It's communism. Okay, I know that we've got the Biden regime trying to shove communism and Marxism down Americans' throats today. Okay, but let's call it like it is. Communism is an oppressive state, and it's exactly what Fidel Castro put in place in 1959. It kills productivity. It kills morale. It kills dreams. It kills innovation. So basically, communism kills. They confiscate your wealth. They confiscate your land. They confiscate your soul. And it's not because of a pandemic that was caused by the Chinese virus as the reason why people were uprising. And isn't it ironic? You have people in Cuba who are flying and carrying the American flag while the Marxists, the communists, the anti-Americans in America are burning the American flag. It seems like foreigners understand what the flag stands for. And so you have here in America, you have the Marxist movement trying to implement communism under the false notion of being progressive. And it's the Cubans who are taken to the street who are rejecting the oppressive communism that has ruled that country since 1959. I mean, well, you know, you look at people who are the Cubans who've tried to escape, where they're building makeshift rafts out of their rooftops, okay, so they can flee this oppression and come to the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's what they're protesting. And you know, the other thing I think what's come to a head here is that the Cuban people now have seen the tourists who come to their country not just confined to one location, but with the opening of Cuba, it has allowed like cruise ships and actually airlines to come in to fly into Havana and fly into the ports in Cuba. And now the whole island-wide are seeing how Western people live. And they're not driving 1950 Chevrolets. They're actually, you know, they're seeing what kind of wealth, and they understand how oppressive the communist regime is. Yeah, that's right. And Chief said, you know, the Cubans were protesting climate change. I'm surprised that the buffoon Biden didn't blame climate change as well for, you know.
Well, what they're saying is that without making any acknowledgement of the deep discontent with his government shown by protesters chanting down with the dictatorship across the island on Sunday, Cuban leader Miguel Diaz-Canel said Monday the massive uprisings were the cumulative result of U.S. policies. That means that President Trump's policies lived on and promoted the people to uprise, against their dictatorship government and their communist government. Very good thing to see. And he said the majority of people participating in the massive protests across the island on Sunday, which he referred to as events rather than protests, had some dissatisfaction with the electricity blackouts proliferating across and during the hot Cuban summer, the lack of food and other necessities, all because of the U.S. embargo. Bullshit to that. That is not true because other countries are trading with Cuba. I was there, Vito. I was there when President Obama, when they had that window of opportunity to go visit him. We talked about it a couple times. And it was the people were very guarded on what they were saying. But here's what I think is going to go down since you asked. What is going to happen? Miguel Diaz-Canel, the president of Cuba, will disappear the protest leadership across the country in the upcoming weeks and months as this story goes into the back burner and the media starts following some other bright, shiny object story. And then this protest will disappear just like the Iranian protest, because that is what Marxists do to their opposition, especially on that little island. So that's what I think is going to happen.
So could it be similar to what the communists of China did to the Hong Kong protests, where they were protesting for democracy and police were going in and they were beating the protesters, and then the pandemic hit and they shut down Hong Kong and boom, the protesting was gone.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And then you got, like you said, you got Jin Umsaki and the Biden administration blaming it on COVID when they had their moment to present our republic, freedom, liberty, the American way, how great it is, our capitalist society, how it is superior to the Cuban society, Cuban communism, but they let it slip through their fingers because they don't believe in America anymore.
Well, I have to read this. This is hysterical, actually. So Julie Chung, she's the acting assistant secretary in the State Department Bureau of Western Hemisphere Affairs under the Biden regime. She posted a tweet, and she said, and the tweet said, "Peaceful protests are growing in Cuba as the Cubans people exercise their right to peaceably assemble to express concern about rising COVID cases and slash deaths and medicine shortages." Chung said, "We commend the numerous efforts of the Cuban people mobilizing donations to help neighbors in need." And it's like, yeah. But the slogans chanted were Libertad, which is freedom, Abajo la dictatura, down with dictatorship. No tenemos miedo, we are not afraid. Patria y vida, homeland and life. And other chants being heard were a reaction to the regime's revolutionary slogan, Patria o muerta, homeland or death. And so Representative Dan Crenshaw tweets out to Julie Chung, "Now they're chanting Libertad," tweeted Dan Crenshaw in response to Chung's tweet. "Stop playing cover for communists and support the Cuban people. My God, why is that so hard?" Well, of course it's so hard because you've got the Biden regime is our communist to heart. They despise a constitutional republic. And then Senator Rubio called Chung's tweet ridiculous. And he tweeted out, "People in Cuba are protesting 62 years of socialism, lies, tyranny, and misery, not expressing concern about rising COVID cases and deaths. Why is it so hard for POTUS and the people in the administration to say that?" Because it brings light to their movement. That's why, Senator Rubio, you know that. I mean, you've got the undertaking that was led by Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama to incorporate Marxism in the United States, to dismantle our constitutional republic. If they say the C word, communism, that means they bring light to what they are doing. That's why the installation of Beijing Biden was so important, because he brings that flavor. And you can see that the lack of transparency. You can see how the anti-constitutionalist Beijing Biden, you know, trounces on the First Amendment, trounces on the Second Amendment, tramples on the Fourth Amendment, tramples on the Tenth Amendment, you know, and now they're trying to bring in the 13th Amendment. And, you know, this whole, with this administration, with this movement in Washington, D.C., the movement afoot is to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. And for anybody in the Biden administration, including Baghdad Bab Jinsaki or this Julie Chung, for them to mention the word communism would bring light to what is being done by this administration. You know, the Cuban uprising is not about COVID. It's not about COVID. And by the way, to Julie Chung, is that her name? Yeah, Julie Chung, okay? This is the spin that this administration likes to put out there. And you know what? It's also the spin by Hillary Rodham Clinton. This is how these liars and these frauds try to dupe the American people. Do you think that in Cuba, they have, under communist regime, that the people have a right to peaceably assemble? Do you really think that the First Amendment applies in communist Cuba or in communist China? I mean, this is how they deceive the American people. This is how this administration, this is how the Democrat Marxist Party, the Democrat Communist Party tries to dupe people. The United States of America is the only country in the world that has a First Amendment and offers the right to peaceably assemble. That right to peaceably assemble is not extended to the people of Cuba. It hasn't been since 1959. And that's what makes the undertaking of what the Cuban people have done this past weekend so tremendous. The fact that the people have taken to the streets, they don't have a right to assemble. They don't have the right to free speech. They don't have a right to freedom of the press. I mean, why are they lying to the American people? But this is what Joe Biden is. He's been a pathological liar his entire political life. From plagiarism in 1988 to just flat out lying. And I wonder if he lied about, never mind, I'm not even going to go there, okay? But the guy's a liar. The big man on campus, the big cheese, he likes to play big shit out there, you know? Like I held a $1 billion loan guarantee. I told him, you're not getting anything. If I'm going to be out here in 6 hours. Next thing we know, we have Nancy Pelosi impeaching President Trump because you have a situation where a quid pro quo took place with Beijing Biden. And now they're lying about the rights that are afforded to the Cuban people. 60 years, their rights have been suppressed. 60 years, the Cuban people have been beaten down for speaking about the government. 60 years. So don't be fooled. Don't be misled by this dopey response by Julie Chung that peaceful protests are growing in Cuba as the Cuban people exercise their right to peaceably assemble to express concerns. They don't have a right to peaceably assemble. Just like the people in communist China don't have a right to peaceably assemble. Don't you remember Tiananmen Square? How about the Hong Kong protests, okay? Just this past year, and they were beaten down by police. You know, this liberalism is a mental disorder, but they are flat out lying. And it's time to call this thing out, call them out on this lying. This is absolute bullshit.
Propaganda from China. Who benefits from this Chung woman's tweet? They're peaceably assuming. It makes it sound like, oh, it's just a, like you said, oh, just another protest, but it's like in the land of communism that does not happen. These protesters are going to pay a heavy, heavy price. She's discounting it. President Biden's discounting it. Jinsaki is discounting it, blaming, in this case, they're blaming COVID with precision of propaganda and lies. And I believe that they are under the influence of Chinese propaganda because the Chinese communists are the ones who benefit from this type of lies and deception about their favorite country, Cuba. Because it's the greatest communist country closest within 100 miles of the United States of America.
Exactly. There is no Bill of Rights in Cuba. There is no Bill of Rights in communist China. I mean, you know what? I commend Representative Crenshaw and Senator Rubio for firing back and for this campaign of disinformation and misinformation. It's a constant campaign of propaganda by this left-wing anti-American government. It's unbelievable how they intentionally mislead the American people. And it's as if the Cuban people have had this right for the last 60 years, and why they're living in squalor, why they're living, you know, in the 1950s still, in the 1940s, and they're being indoctrinated, you know, by the government. Their farms are stolen. Their land is stolen. You know, the Cubans that come to America, just talk to a Cuban that's come to America. I mean, I've had this conversation several times with different Cubans who've migrated to America and have built a family. They have built a business. They have built a life in the United States of America and are so grateful for that life. One man came to America with $42 in his pocket. $42. And he was assisted by a family up north, okay, here up north. And he was forever grateful for that, to the point where he paid them back. He didn't have to, and they didn't want the money, but he paid them back. Not only that, he put his kids through college. His wife came. His wife was able to smuggle out of Cuba back in the 1960s. He put his kids through college. He built his own home, and he retired a happy man, forever grateful for the opportunity the United States of America afforded him after he fled the communist regime of Fidel Castro. I mean, it is really sad that we have an administration that is this deceitful, and to state that the Cuban people are exercising their right to peaceful protest, the peaceful assembly, is absolutely ludicrous. It is an absolute lie. The people don't have freedom in Cuba. They don't have the freedom of religion. They don't have the freedom of the press. They don't have the freedom of speech. They certainly don't have the freedom to peaceably assemble, nor do they have the freedom to redress their government of grievances. Because once they started redressing their government, they started redressing their government for grievances, they were summarily shot or imprisoned. Well, that's some freaking freedom. Holy cow.
Well, it's going to be lasting a very long time because the new president, Miguel Diaz-Canel, he was born in April 20th, 1960, which makes him about 61 years old. So he's going to be around for a very long time. And he was just named the head of the Communist Party of Cuba. Things are not going to change. They're only going to get worse. So buckle up, you protesters, and run for the hills before they come and get you, because they're going to F you up, comrades.
Yeah, they will. They will. And you know what? And this administration will take a step back and say, well, you know, the people did, you know, look at the protests that they did last week or 2 weeks ago, last month. Oh, it was effective. The government listened. Bull. It's hogwash. They don't trust this administration in the least. And unfortunately, you know, you know what? God bless those protesters. God bless those Cubans who've had enough. Now, will it have an impact on the government? Unless there is an uprising within the government itself, if there's enough within the government to overthrow this communist regime, this is probably nothing's really going to happen. But it certainly wasn't COVID related. It wasn't COVID related. It wasn't.
No, that's a lie. It's a lie, and it makes our country look bad. And because they have no respect for the people. They think we're a bunch of idiots, so kudos to Crenshaw for at least tweeting back. But the Republican Party establishment should have been all over this as a moment in history to promote our republic and our free market society and give all the people that are becoming soft socialists, give them a lesson in American exceptionalism and why our constitutional republic is the best in the world. But no, they missed that opportunity. Well, maybe they can still make the opportunity happen if they're listening, but I don't see it coming. We'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And it did take a couple of people to step outside the box. You know, there were tweeted messages of support and concern about Cuba by, you know, Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, House Affairs, the House Foreign Affairs Committee ranking member Michael McCaul, and Republican Committee Chairwoman Rona McDaniel. So, you know, other than that, the forceful ones that called out this administration were from Representative Crenshaw and from Senator Rubio. And you know, the people in Miami, the Cubans in Miami, understand, you know, the effects and how bad communism is, how bad socialism is. And, of course, the media doesn't want any part of those Cubans to tell you exactly, you know, what's going on in Cuba, because they have family members there who are protesting this dictatorship. And but dictator Biden, you know, got his talking points in, and the lapdogs in the DNC media all lapped it up and reported it that way. So we'll see what happens in Cuba these next coming weeks. You know, it should be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and we're seeing Democrat politicians in the Senate and the House are saying we are with the Cuban people, and that's about the extent of their comments, which is just generic pablum. It's milquetoast comments because they don't mean anything. They don't say anything. And then you go to Haiti and you got the same thing happening there, but even at a higher temperature.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you make of that?
Well, the assassination of President Jovenel Moise has put that country, that third world asshole, into even more chaos. The whole place is now gang run. The government is folding like a house of cards. The gangs are the only, according to news reports, the gangs are more organized than the government. And it's violence and people stealing land, burning houses, stealing food stuff, bags of rice, bags of sugar, because he who controls the food controls the population, and they will use food and starve their people in order to control them. That's been done before. And I haven't seen much of a response from the Biden administration on what's happening in Haiti. Now, granted, it just happened, but still, I expect something.
Well, I was reading in at www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com this Friday and Saturday. I was reading some articles, and there was an article in there from the Guardian. And apparently the United States has dispatched the FBI to go over. So the president of Haiti, Jovenel Moise, had been assassinated in his home by a group of armed men who were seriously injured his wife, according to statement and comments made by the country's interim prime minister. Speaking on a local radio station, Claude Joseph confirmed that Moise, 53, had been killed, saying the attack was carried out by an armed commando group that included foreigners. And in the article yesterday, when I was reading through Bigfoot's Place by blogspot.com, there was an article in there about somebody yelling, "This is the DEA, the DEA, get down." And apparently that's when the guards, or his guards, scattered. And they left him, you know, they left the president, or I'll just say they left the president, and then they the Washington Examiner is where I read it. They had assassinated him. Apparently, Moise's wife is now recovering in a hospital in Fort Lauderdale. So it said, what happened? Moise and his wife, Martine, were both inside their private residence outside of Port-au-Prince when armed intruders fatally shot him around 1 a.m. Wednesday. The first lady, who has been transported to a hospital in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for treatment, was critically injured, suffering multiple gunshot wounds to her abdomen and extremities. One of the mercenaries, as Haitian officials labeled the suspects, reportedly had an American accent and yelled in English, "DEA operation, everybody stand down." DEA operation, everybody back up, stand down, over a megaphone during the attack. And apparently that's what caused some of the guards to stand down. And the State Department spokesman, Ned Price, said it's absolutely false. The DEA agents were involved in let's see, it was absolutely false that DEA agents were involved in the attack on Wednesday. So this is going to really be interesting to see what happens. And of course, you know, the with the FBI being dispatched, you know, how, you know, will they have direct access? I mean, what kind of access will they have? And will they ever get to the bottom of this? Although they did arrest like eight or nine people, including three or four Americans as well. So,
Americans, interesting.
Yeah, American suspects have been identified as 35-year-old James Solagas and 55-year-old Joseph Vincent. The two said they were working as translators for the assailant and were not in the room when Moise was killed, according to a Haitian judge who interviewed them as part of an investigation into the attack. Solagas and Vincent were arrested after the shootout between police and the group of the attackers that killed at least three suspects were found to be in possession of weapons, clothes, food, and other items used in the assault at the time they were detained, Judge Clement Noel said. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens and what comes out of it. You know, they have a, like I said, they have a team of FBI agents that have been dispatched to Port-au-Prince to help with the investigation. So,
well, there's definitely an American thumbprint on this whole story, even to the fact that she's here in Fort Lauderdale getting medical care, First Lady.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, America being the greatest country in the world and the greatest medical attention and medical capabilities, and you know, here she is. She's they're taking to America. So, man, this whole thing has been absolutely just what a week. I mean, what a week. Holy cow.
Well, Shazier, is known as Barbecue. He's been linked to several massacres, and his coalition is believed to be allied with Moise's right-wing party. So now Moise's, the assassinated president, is a right-wing. He criticized those he called bourgeoisie and exploiters. Interesting language, adding, quote, "We will use our weapons against them in favor of the Haitian people who are ready for war." That sounds very Marxist. Bourgeoisie and exploiters.
Yeah.
So maybe the communists are making a play for Haiti. Why not?
Why not? I mean, the communists are making a play for Afghanistan now, with China getting more involved. And speaking of Biden and not being at fault, you know, it's never Biden's fault for anything, even higher gas prices. As U.S. gas prices rose to a seven-year high over the 4th of July weekend, not one or two-year high, but a seven-year high. And and the reason I bring this up, because I got into it a little bit on Twitter. Some, you know, left-winger wanted to took exception to a tweet that I sent. And, of course, you know, don't blame the XL pipeline and don't blame Joe Biden for the rise in gas prices. Okay. All right. But the president of the United States sets the tone. And when the president of the United States, okay, wants to take you off of fossil fuel and then starts buying oil from communist regimes, from theocratic terrorist regimes like Iran, which should be a condition of treason, buying oil from Russia, and then, okay, and then ramping up and buying oil from OPEC. You have to start wondering if the Biden administration, you know, really cares about the American people. We, the United States of America, was on course and was well on the road to energy independence. We were becoming the world leader in oil production. And since January 20th, the message in America is very simple, and the message to the world is very simple by the buffoon Biden, and that is, we will make America mediocre again. We will become dependent on foreign sources for oil. You kill the Keystone Pipeline. Okay, well, the Keystone Pipeline was not going to supply oil to America. Ah, but you kill 33,000 jobs, and now you've dried up yet one source of oil. You stop you sign an executive order to kill drilling on federal land, which a judge, I guess last week, a federal judge, you know, nixed, which is, thank God we have some semblance of sanity, okay? But then you also have a president who's beholden to the left-wing Mother Earth, okay, religion, and that is called the Green New Deal. And what you've decided to do is take America off of fossil fuel by 2025. What message does that send? And quickly, since January 20th, 2021, America has gone from a $40 to $42 barrel of oil to $70 a barrel plus. And you're saying that Biden doesn't have any responsibility towards that? Biden's not responsible for anything anymore. I mean, the worst is yet to come. That's the way one story ended in the Western Journal. We can debate the truth of some or all of the statements. Egan forgets that Biden has a magic wand to make sure gas prices stay high. Several wands, actually. And he's waving them furiously since the day of his administration. I mean, you know, here you got on one hand, you've got President Plagiarizer, you know, talking about not raising taxes on any Americans making under $400,000 a year. In the meantime, one of the biggest costs for Americans, okay, is the cost of gas to fill their vehicles. Bring it on, boy, $4.26 a gallon in California, $2 a gallon higher since January 20th. 2021. You've got a 13 gallon tank of gas and it now costs you $42 more to fill up your car. It costs you $26 more, excuse me, to fill up your car. $42 to fill up your car. Okay?
That's a tax.
And that's a tax. You're making $15 an hour because that's the new buzzword, of course, right? You know, you got to make $15. It's a living wage. Not after what President Plagiarizer gets done with you, okay? That'll be a recipe for being on food stamps. You know, you've got a president who is ending tax breaks for fossil fuels, okay? Because he's going to raise $90 billion. Wow! Whoa! And nobody asked him how does he come up with this $90 billion figure? You know, President Plagiarizer just throws numbers out. And there's no consequences for what he says or what he tries to say or how he stutters, okay? The buffoon sits there and just throws numbers out. Like, we're not going to tax anybody with $400,000 a year or more or less. Where does that number come from? How did you arrive at that? And now they're going to raise $90 billion by cutting tax breaks for fossil fuel and make polluters pay to clean up the messes. How did you arrive at that? No one answers that question. I mean, why would you ask a factual question? But, you know, you cut the drilling cut the drilling leases, you cut the pipeline, you kill the Keystone, you kill the Alaskan pipeline, and you make it more difficult for America to be self-sufficient, to be independent, and you make America dependent again. And this is what the frail old fraud, President Plagiarizer, has done so well. But don't blame him. Don't blame him, okay? So you raise the prices on the Exxon Mobils and the drilling companies. You raise their taxes, and you raise their cost of doing business. And do you think they're going to eat that? They're just going to pass it on to the consumer. We have ended up a barrel of gas for oil from January 20th at $47 a barrel to over $73 a barrel, $71 a barrel today. And we're not supposed to question that? Because President Plagiarizer, okay, is so beholden to the new religion called Mother Earth and that fraudulent Green New Deal. It's a fraud. And all it does is extract more money from the American taxpayer wallet. In the meantime, President Plagiarizer is extracting even more money out of the American people's wallet, and immediately. Boys, paying $4.26 a gallon in California, $4.26 a gallon. When we in America are on the road to energy independence, we are the ones going to supply the world. And you know, we had enough reserves to produce oil for the next 150 years. And frankly, I'm going to be dead in the next 50 years, and I don't give a damn about running out of oil. But you know what I do know? Because of the inspiration of a pro-American administration, we could have had people who would design alternative fuel sources and design it efficiently that I am so confident that in 150 years, there would be a new alternative to running vehicles, to buying whatever sorts of energy it is to fuel your vehicle. I have every confidence in the world that America could have come up with that ingenuity. But when you have communists who just kill that inspiration, like they kill the inspiration, they kill the productivity in Cuba, we have the same mentality with the president plagiarizer that's occupying the White House right now. And suddenly, we can't blame dictator Joe Biden for the rise in gas prices in America. Oh, it's not his fault because we're still producing the same amount of oil. Jamford Jones writes, this is about the third or fourth grade economics. If you tax the oil companies, they raise the prices on you and me. Unless you ride a bike, then it's just the goods that depend on production and transportation by oil that gets more expensive. Jamford gets it. Billy Boyardee writes, all corporate taxes are paid by the consumer plus the cost of the administration of those taxes, lawyers and accountants. Increased prices fall hardest on the lowest income citizens, making corporate taxes among the most regressive. Old-timer Texan sums it up. Exactly. Businesses pass on their overhead, tax, and other costs to the consumer, and one way or the other, we pay for whatever the government is doing. You know, the American people get it. But again, you have these communists in the White House who want to break the spirit and certainly break the American people's wallets, make you think that they care, and don't care. And it's really sickening what we're seeing coming from this administration in what? February, March, April, May, June, July. In less than 6 months, this administration has taken America off of energy independence and has made America dependent upon energy. Here we go again. Oh, America is back. America is back to the same progressive policies that we've seen for the last 50 years. And President Plagiarizer has been part of that failed program for the last 50 years.
Yeah, and if you look back to what President Trump did, he opened up fracking like no other president. And the Democrat, socialist, Marxist, they screamed. Remember how bad, oh, fracking's going to poison all the water and his death was coming everywhere. But he continued with the fracking, opening up the pipeline, and the United States had reserves, surplus reserves of oil like never before. We were able to have enough for our own needs as well as we became a net exporter of oil. That has totally flipped now. And as a result, oil prices were down into the high $1, $80, $90 for the longest time. Oil futures went negative for the first time I've ever seen in my life. And now, like you said, everything's gone back to where it is, to where the old oil suppliers, we are now having to buy our oil from them. I don't know. It's almost like whatever backroom deals they had with these dictatorships and our enemies and oil producers are right now back on the table. Very strange.
You know, it is very strange.
America.
You know, it's not good for America is correct. And what, you know, the problem, what amazes me, and you know, the people like Rush Limbaugh and may you rest in peace, and, you know, others in the radio field would ponder, you have an a government that is making decisions that you scratch your head. You've got President, at the time, President Trump was a champion for America. And you talked about fracking. North Dakota, the economy in North Dakota was booming. And because of the conditions there and because of how the market was booming, they were able to the market dictated. They dictated the pay, the conditions. You know, the state was thriving. Why? You let the economics take over. And now we have this regressive thought process, the regressive approach of progressivism. And the same failed policies that were implemented the last 50 years in government, which, you know, plagiarizing Biden was part of. And the guy seems to just not be held accountable. He's got a track record. I mean, Biden has a history, his history of racism, his history of buffoonery, his history of plagiarism. The man has a history. He's probably the least qualified. And, you know, and that's not saying a lot because Jimmy Carter, I thought, held that banner. Obama was very close. But Biden is a buffoon. And yet you scratch your head and you say, here's a guy who is implementing failed policies. And there's no accountability because we have a corrupt media in this country. And the media is so corrupt. You know, they're running running cover for the Biden crime family. And Al, you coined that phrase, the Biden crime family. You did so well because it just continued to materialize. You know, from crackhead Hunter, you know, snorting Parmesan cheese from the carpet, and nobody says anything, to possible child porn on his laptop, to now he's selling art for like $500,000, but he's going to be selling it under, you know, an assumed name. There's no outrage. There's no outrage over, you know, President Plagiarizer and his quid pro quo with an ally. And it's well documented because President Plagiarizer had diarrhea of the mouth. He tried to be big man on campus at that forum in April of 2019, and he disclosed that he and Barack were in on holding an ally's feet to the fire and not giving them a $1 billion loan guarantee. And yet the media was so fixated on hating Trump, whose Trump's only problem was he was pro-American, who put America on an energy independence path. And like you said, we had reserves as a result of the programs and policies put forth because the president of the United States at the time, Donald Trump, trusted private industry. He knew that private industry would produce. And it did. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And unfortunately, the progressive mantra has always been that government will get in the way and government will dictate policy. And, you know, it's really sad where America has come and how corrupt government truly is and how corrupt individuals are like Joe Biden and his entire family. And yet nobody says anything about that. You know, it's constant cover-up for these frauds. It's a constant campaign of disinformation and misinformation to protect this guy and shield him. For what reason? I don't know. You know, we could surmise, we could say that, you know, we have a Marxist movement that seeks to dismantle our constitutional republic. And that was first put forth by Charles Krauthammer, who in October of 2009 stated that Barack Obama will try to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. And those words were so profound by Charles Krauthammer that it is so true. And you can see how destructive the Democrat Party truly is. And whether it's the oil and the dependency, you know, it's the voting, this whole voting rights issue, the issue of suppression and oppression, you know, you've got an administration that are the chief propagandists. This, without a doubt, this administration loves propaganda. This administration has a disdain for transparency. And when you look at and you listen to this administration talk, and the leader of this campaign of disinformation has to be Baghdad Bob Jinsaki. She is pathetic. She is the perfect individual to spew the lies and the misinformation that are put forth by the Biden regime. You know, the campaign of disinformation and misinformation is in full swing with Democrat Marxist Party, the Fralo fraud, his press secretary, Baghdad Bob Jinsaki, and Benghazi killer Hillary Rodham Clinton. The new manufactured and phony narrative is GOP are suppressing your right to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a flat-out lie. That is false. Your right to vote in America is not being oppressed, nor are you being suppressed. Today's Democrat Party is dangerous and destructive. They are flat out lying to the American people. The Democrat Marxist Party is instilling fear into the hearts of the weak. The Democrat Marxist Party is instilling fear into the hearts of minorities and using minorities as scapegoats and victims. The Democrat Marxist Party is an exploitation, an anti-American, and an anti-constitutional party. This is perhaps the most un-American political party since the Communist Party was founded in America in 1919. However, the anti-constitutional Democrat Communist Party is in full propaganda mode. And tomorrow, the Fralo fraud Biden will continue the ruse by having some sort of press conference, reading a teleprompter to deliver the words about voter oppression and voter suppression in America. Even the Democrat Communist Party requires an ID to enter the Democrat National Convention every 4 years. I guess like Communist Kamala, I'm sure the Fralo fraud will make minorities into a victim because they can't make a photo ID. They can't make a copy of a photo since they don't have access to an Office Max or a Kinko's. This is how pathetic Communist Kamala Harris is. The state of Georgia has required voter ID, has required photo IDs for in-person voting since 2008. And under the new law, it is now requiring the same proof as means of providing the same level of security for mail-in voting. It's somehow... that's racist. Somehow, that is voter suppression. And here is a it's a 5-minute video or audio from the Heritage Foundation, a well articulated 5 minutes to explain that a federal judge threw out an ACL lawsuit back in 2008 that was challenging the showing of a voter ID, of a voter showing an ID to vote in person in Georgia. In the 2 years of challenges by the ACLU, they could not produce one single resident of the state unable to vote because of the voter ID law. Not one. This is how dishonest the Democrat Party truly is. And they're furthering this. They're basing this entire wedge on racism. But sit back. This gentleman really and clearly explains what's happening with regards to the voting in Georgia and this whole notion of voter oppression and suppression. It's a phony campaign. It is false. The Democrat Party is lying to the American people.
there are a lot of partisan political issues out there, but election integrity shouldn't be one of them. What could be more basic to the very concept of representative government than having citizens trust that an election, whether it be for president or dog catcher, was fairly won or fairly lost? Yet in the recent past, this issue has become very contentious. For purposes of our discussion here, let's put aside any feelings we might have regarding a specific election. Here's the conflict. One side is primarily concerned that all votes are legitimately cast. That is, each vote can be traced to the person voting. The other side is primarily concerned that as many people as possible have the opportunity to vote. Now, a very obvious question arises. Why are these two concerns incompatible? Well, the answer is they are not. We should be able to both verify voters and make it easy to vote at the same time. Yes, even in politics, it should be possible to walk and chew gum simultaneously. Let's look to see how Georgia, where there has been much controversy over voting, has addressed this issue. First concern, voter ID. The recent Georgia voter reform law requires voters to provide an ID to receive an absentee ballot. Since 2008, the state has required a voter to show a government-issued photo ID when he or she votes in person. To require the same level of security for absentee voting seems to make perfect sense. In fact, one wonders why this wasn't addressed sooner. There's simply no good evidence that possessing an ID presents a hardship to voting. Have you ever met anyone who didn't have an ID? Anyone? When a federal judge threw out the ACLU-led lawsuit against Georgia's in-person voter ID law, he noted that in 2 years of litigation, the challengers could not produce a single resident of the state unable to vote because of the new ID requirement. But wait, as they say in TV ads, there's more. The new law says you can satisfy the voter ID requirement with a copy of a current utility bill, bank statement, government check, paycheck, or other government document that shows the name and address of the would-be voter. It's worth noting that the language on voter IDs for absentee ballots is identical to the language in the federal Help America Vote Act of 2002, which passed the U.S. Senate by a vote of 92-2. The yes votes included then-Senator Joe Biden of Delaware. Let's move on to the second concern, making voting easy. The charge against Georgia's new voting law is that it prohibits voters from access to water while they wait in line. One has to admit that sounds harsh, but if we dig a little deeper, we find that like most other states, Georgia prohibits electioneering within 150 feet of a polling place or within 25 feet of any voters waiting in line to vote. The new law simply added that within such distances, no one can give, offer to give, or participate in the giving of any money or gift, including but not limited to food and drink to any elector. In other words, a candidate, his supporters, or an activist group can't show up at a polling place with a truckload of Happy Meals and start handing them out to voters standing in line. The clear intent here is to prevent operatives from any party from unduly influencing voters with money or gifts, including food and drink. The idea that Georgia is somehow doing something nefarious by preventing gift-giving at the polls is, to put it mildly, bizarre. Especially considering that this is a standard practice, as it should be, in most other states, including New York and New Jersey. By the way, the law says it's okay for poll officials to make self-service water from an unattended receptacle available to an elector waiting in line. And of course, you can bring a bottle of water with you if you're worried that you're going to die of thirst waiting to vote. But wait, there's more. The state added additional weekend voting days for those who want to vote early. To call these reforms the new Jim Crow, as some have done, or an example of voter suppression is simply not true. In fact, it's so far from the truth, it makes one wonder about the accuser's motives. But more than anything, it is an insult to the people who really did suffer under restrictive voting laws of the past. But those days are long gone, and the numbers prove it. Georgia has seen record levels of voter registration and turnout in recent elections, including 2020. That includes blacks and Hispanics, and that's been the trend for a decade. Anybody who wants to vote can vote. Introducing a few safeguards to build confidence that only legal votes are cast and counted just seems to make common sense. So why all the controversy? I'm Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation for Prager University.
You know, Al, anybody who wants to vote can vote. And these are the lies and the campaign of mis and disinformation from the Democrat Party, and including from the Biden regime. And I heard Baghdad Bob Jensaki in giving an answer where she was talking about voter oppression and voter suppression, and it's a flat-out lie. It's a campaign of disinformation, a campaign of misinformation. In addition to, you've got Hillary Rotten Clinton, who is doing the same thing on Twitter. You know, they banned President Trump on Twitter, okay? But Hillary Rotten Clinton, the butcher of Benghazi, okay, she's still allowed to spew her left-wing, radical, anti-American garbage on Twitter. She is one of the facilitators of disinformation, of propaganda. And again, it's, oh, the American people, the voters, the GOP is guilty of voter suppression and voter oppression. That is hogwash. That is absolutely a lie. And as the gentleman from Heritage Foundation points out, okay, nobody or anybody who wants to vote can vote. Documents to show, paycheck, utility bill, bank statement. I mean, this whole thing by the Democrat Communist Party in America to spew this disinformation is absolutely pathetic, and it's really tough because the media, I should say the DNC media in this country, is complicit in facilitating these lies. And Gulf Dog said it, dead people are voting like never before. Yeah, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, Chicago, it was always funny how Chicago was that bastion of dead people voting. But nobody is going to be turned away to vote. Just follow the rules. And apparently that's the problem with the Democrat Party. They don't want to follow the rules anymore because they're tired of the American people thinking for themselves. 2016 presidential election was a wake-up call for the Democrat Party. That can never, ever happen again. And it's why they want to dismantle this constitutional republic. And one last note, the federal bill that passed in 2002, to the tune of 92-2 in the Senate, and Joe Biden was the senator who voted with the majority of the 92, okay, which also shows that voter ID is not a bad thing. This is the contradiction that we're getting out of the frail old fraud, and yet the media in this country don't hold him accountable for his actions, for his lying, his constant and chronic lying. He's playing to a crowd, and he's separating America by identity politics, which is the Marxist movement. And, you know, Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama is gleefully enjoying, you know, how Biden continues to drive that wedge. And it's truly sick. It's sick.
Well, exactly what you're talking about is happening in Texas. Within the last hour, Texas Democrats fled the state. They're fleeing to Washington, D.C. to try to kill a Republican bill critics say would make it harder to vote in the Lone Star State, which we learned is actual BS. The Texas State House Democrats fled Monday to the nation's capital to try to block the GOP's sweeping elections overhaul bill that critics say make it harder to vote. A similar move killed an earlier version of the bill on the last day of the legislative session in May. Lawmakers are hoping for a repeat. Now, here's the kicker. They fled the state, abdicating their responsibilities as lawmakers to try to kill a bill by the Republicans, so they chartered a jet. And all of these Democrats in the teens hopped on this jet, and they all took a picture, and nobody is wearing a mask on a plane. Everybody else has to. So the Democrats have two objectives. They hope to deprive the legislature of a quorum the minimum number of representatives who have to be present for the body to operate. Without a quorum, the legislature can't vote on the voting proposal or other GOP-backed bills on transgender athletes, abortion, teaching about racism in U.S. history, and nothing will pass. All work comes to a halt. The second goal, which has probably already been achieved, is drawing attention to the Republican push to tighten Texas voting laws. And that's what makes that audio so important, because everything he said is he explains that tightening up the voting rules is nothing unusual. There's no hardship in it. Everybody has some form of ID, which is the common denominator of the whole piece. Hell,
you know,
poor people have to have ID to get their government check.
Right. I mean, this whole thing is an absolute and flat out lie. It's a flat out lie. You know,
right.
the gifting part, I read through the Georgia bill and as well as the Florida bill. And the one thing that the left wingers, the Democrat Communist Party likes to point out is that they're not going to allow people to have water be given out to them. And as the gentleman in the audio points out, the issue is not the distribution of water, because the supervisor of election can distribute bottles of water if, in fact, the weather conditions, you know, warrant it, where it gets too hot. And in a primary situation in the South, when the primary is held in August and people come out to vote in person, it can be damn hot. Okay. The fact is that the legislature doesn't want candidates to fund the food or drinks to be given to people in line. Why? Because they don't want people influenced to vote for someone by buying votes. Now, I understand the Democrat Party is good at buying votes and finding dead people to vote. But the issue is that it's not about denying people the right to water, as the Democrats try to create a victim mentality. It's that they don't want a candidate to be buying, you know, or supplying, you know, pallets of water, and you see vote for George Jones on the side of that. That's wrong, and that's absolutely correct. And if water is an issue, if liquid is an issue, then let the supervisor of election provide it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right,
all of this stuff is just it's nonsense. It's absolute noise. And for the Democrat Party to make this an issue, and of course, who's carrying the water of propaganda? It's the DNC media. And the campaign of disinformation and misinformation is being carried by the Democrat Communist Party and their media outlets. I mean, the Democrat Party has lost its way. They no longer stand for the freedoms and liberties our founding fathers bestowed upon us. The Marxist communist movement is meant to tear down and dismantle our constitutional republic. But your right to vote, Mr., Miss., and Mrs. America, has not been abridged. It has not been oppressed. It is not being suppressed. American voting system is so oppressive that you still have the ability to vote in person on election day, which hasn't changed in 200 years. American voting system is so oppressive and suppressive, you can actually vote by absentee ballot. All you have to do is request a ballot, complete it after you receive it, fold it in a prepaid stamped envelope, then sign that envelope, and then mail it. You would not have to go down to Kinko's or Office Max or the post office to buy stamps, because the envelope is prepaid. That is so oppressive. The American voting system is so oppressive and so suppressive, we now have early voting in place. And as the narrator stated in that audio, the state of Georgia added weekend voting as well. I mean, if you don't have the wherewithal to stand in line on election day, which, by the way, is the first Tuesday in November following the first Monday, you will now have anywhere from 7 to 16 days to vote early, depending on the state you reside. That is so oppressive, ladies and gentlemen. 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, there was no such thing as early voting, because the Democrat Party has so many retards in the party that they have to have 20 days of early voting because they can't stand in line. And imagine the suppression to vote is now expanded to 16 to 20 days prior to the election. Imagine one has the ability to request an absentee ballot and complete that ballot in total privacy in the confines of their own home, and then mail the completed ballot in a pre-stamped envelope provided by the supervisor of election. Voter suppression is so bad, your race is not even known when you request an absentee ballot. The propaganda campaign of disinformation, of misinformation, is furthered by the White House Press Secretary Baghdad Bob Jinsaki, dictator Joe Biden, and Benghazi killer Hillary Rotten Clinton. And there's no stopping them, because the media is not holding these liars accountable for what? For lying. They're flat out lying to the American people. You know what? Read the bill for yourself. Read the state of Georgia voting bill. Read the state of Florida's voting bill. There is nothing suppressive. There is nothing oppressive. And I'll tell you, Al, I'm still trying to comprehend, how is it oppressive that you have 2 weeks of early voting? 2 weeks. It used to be you would stand in line on the first Tuesday following the first Monday in November to cast your ballot. It was a right that was greatly appreciated, because people like, I don't know, the Cubans, maybe like the Chinese, how about the Afghanis? How about the Iraqis, who were so proud to be able to vote? And now we're suppressed because we now have just 16 days of early voting. We have absentee balloting available to us, and we have the ability to stand in line on election day to vote, and now we're being oppressed. I mean, this is insane. This is a snowflake mentality. You've got to be sick to realize if you don't have the ability to vote in the United States, if you're pissing and moaning about the ability to vote in the United States, you're in the wrong country. I mean, oh, my God.
Well, it's not that it's that hard to vote. The Democrats want the voting to go on for as long as possible because there's more cheating opportunities the longer that it goes on. It used to be voting day, and then by the end of voting, there would be a result. And it would be on TV, so everybody knows the day that you vote, and within hours of the final tallies, it's done, one and done. But now, 2 weeks. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know how oppressive the voting is in Georgia? Okay, one of the issues is those ballot boxes. So the ballot boxes were never an issue up until, what, 2008, 2012? So now the supervisor of election, the state puts out these ballot boxes where you can drop off your ballot. Okay. So first of all, ballot harvesting is illegal. If you have more than three votes, I believe in Minneapolis, if you have more than three ballots, it's illegal. But in Georgia, we're talking about, the law reads that the ballot boxes must be manned by a supervisor of election employee. Okay. An employee of the supervisor of election. And that when that employee leaves, they must gather all the votes that were deposited in the ballot box and then lock the box and close it, and seal it. And then the next day they come back, they unlock it, unseal it, and they have to sit there for however much time it's open. Now, how much more easier are we going to make voting? I mean, do we actually want people to come to your house and wait at your door, give you the vaccine, give you a ballot? You fill out the ballot, you get inoculated for the Chinese virus, they pick up the ballot, they give you your vaccine, Chinese vaccine card, and then they say they'll come back in 2 years, comrade. I mean, at what point does personal responsibility come into play here? If you don't want to vote, you don't have to vote in America. Guess what? If you want to vote, you have the right to vote. If you're a legal citizen, if you're not a convicted felon, okay, where your civil rights have been denied, okay, and if you got your civil rights back and you have the right to vote and you're 18 years old, you can vote in America. No one is stopping you. Bring a copy of utility bill. Bring your bank statement. You know, bring a paycheck. Bring your birth certificate, if you have one. It can be from Kenya. Bring some other form to show, and you will have your right to vote would be given. And just read the bill. Read the Georgia bill. There's nothing oppressive. We're not going back to Jim Crow laws. People aren't being arrested or beaten unless you live in Philadelphia, you know, to vote. I mean, this, it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Well, you know what I think?
What?
I think since we do have elections coming up next year, and there's grumblings about a new lockdown possibly coming to hit the United States just as it's hit Australia and England, I believe. They've gone into lockdown. Is that right?
Yeah. In some places, some places of Australia, yes.
Well, once America goes back into lockdown, what happens with the voting? Boxes come back.
The boxes come back. And then vote by mail. So mail-in ballots are being sent to everybody, irrespective of where you live. So whatever address is on the books at that time.
Right. Now, wouldn't it be quite the coincidence that those two pieces of the jigsaw puzzle come together right at the next election time? Is it going to happen? I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I hope it doesn't, but I got a sneaky suspicion that it might. In fact, I'd be willing to make a wager on it.
Ooh. A sleeve of Pro V1Xs?
Yes. I think those Pro V1Xs could possibly find their way back home to you or not.
I'll take that bet. You're going to regret because I'm the best it's ever been. Run, 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 boy, run.
All right. It's on the books. One sleeve of Pro V1Xs. If we go into lockdown and the voting boxes come back.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was looking for a sleeper for everyone. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sewing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil...
I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. I'll make that. I'll take that.
Well, it's It's a definite long shot, so I'm giving you a chance to get your Pro V1s back.
And I'm going to agree with FDR. There's in politics, there's no such thing as a coincidence. That's why I'll take that bet. You're going to regret because I'm the best it's ever been. Da-na-na-na, run, boy, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out those. All right.
That's funny. Well, hey, we got some good news on the horizon.
Do tell.
Branson, Virgin Galactic space trip Branson. He reaches space in his own ship. Took five people up. This is a monumental occasion. Billionaire Richard Branson hurtled into space aboard his own winged rocket ship Sunday, bringing astrotourism a step closer to reality and beating out his richer rival, Jeff Bezos. Branson, 70, and five crewmates from his Virgin Galactic space tourism company reached an altitude of 53.5 miles over the New Mexico desert, enough to experience 3 to 4 minutes of weightlessness and witness the curvature of the Earth, and then glided back home to a runway landing. How awesome is that?
You know, it's really cool. I mean, the man had the vision of doing this how long ago? I mean, this has been his vision, just like Elon Musk has had the vision. So, yeah, I mean, this is the entrepreneurial spirit.
No, hell yeah. Can you imagine some government program doing this? I don't think so. And at 70 years old, he was on his plane for the maiden flight. That's taking pride in what you're doing, because there's quite a bit of risk involved, I would imagine, shooting up 53 miles straight up.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So now, cool. For the 15th caller, you will get a seat on the next Branson trip up to 53 miles. This is a prize worth $20.3 million.
And you know what's sad is that if the federal government, the U.S. government did that, the cost would be probably $60 to $80 million to do that. And private yeah. enterprise can do it that much cheaper. I mean, I heard that about a friend of mine with regards to Elon Musk. You know, Musk is doing it for $20 million, and the federal government it would cost $150 million, and that's pretty sick. So you know, that's why this yeah. private enterprise gig is really interesting, and they're following the guidelines and the rules, so they're not cutting corners because they are accountable to you know, to the federal government.
NASA.
So NASA, mm-hmm. yep.
Yeah, and they're landing the first stage rocket boosters. They're landing them on a barge.
God.
From space. They fly the booster back down. It is the coolest thing to watch.
It really is. Oh my God, that's really cool. You have to admit that.
Oh, and then the other day I was watching on YouTube. They were unfurling at the space station. They were letting the solar panels out, and it was live feed from the space station. You got to watch the astronauts work up on the space station to get these solar panels moved and wherever they need to put them, screw them in, and then unfurl them in real time. And HD
really?
Clarity. Oh, I was glued to it. It was like watching that volcano go off in Greenland or wherever it's going off. You get that in live video, too. It's amazing.
Tell you, it's just, hey, innovation is great. You know, let man put his ingenuity together. That's why I believe that with regards to energy, alternative fuel sources, that man will come up with some sort of alternative fuel source in the next 150 years. And what Biden is doing is totally destructive when it comes, you know, to setting the tone for energy costs, for fuel costs. And we shouldn't be paying $4.26 a gallon, you know, to fill up your car, let alone paying $2.89, $2.90, $3 a gallon for gasoline, a 7-year high. And all you have to do is let man's ingenuity, you know, free and get the government out of the way. But this is what progressives, this is what Marxists don't want to happen. They want to seize control at all times and keep people indentured to the federal government. And you know, it's
right.
really sad. You know, we've gone back to this mentality. This mentality, it's just it's sickening.
Well,
it really is sickening.
Well, like you said, the high gas prices suddenly make solar energy look a little more palatable because it becomes the cost basis changes. So when gas was under $2 a gallon, nobody even talked about electric. Because it's just too expensive. The technology hasn't caught up. But now that it's above $4, now all of a sudden all the solar energy becomes in the news again. And in Fleet Management Magazine, they put out a statistic, and in fleets, like a lot of big companies will have fleets of thousands of cars for their salesmen, for their workforce, the big corporation. Well, of those millions of fleet vehicles across the country, less than 2% have any form of electric vehicle, whether it be a hybrid or a full blown out battery car, which I didn't know. And I thought it would be more, but it's extremely low because the market is not ready. The market can't bear it and technology can't bear it. But these Marxists, like you said, are going to keep pushing this obsolete technology on us until it's like, I don't know, the junk cars that Obama did. What was it?
Oh. The clunkers?
Yeah. Yeah. What was the
cash for clunkers?
Clunkers. Cash for clunkers. To get all the old cars off the street that were spewing all of this all this carbon dioxide into the into the air. Cash for clunkers will pay you to get your old car off the road. Well, that was a monumental failure.
Well, you know, speaking of failure, and really quick, and I know we have, what, about 19 minutes left. In Jihad Watch, you know, been following the story with regards to the Sultan of Oman, who went to the UN floor and he stated that terrorism is not linked to any religion. And so the campaign, the Dawah campaign, is underway and it's in full stride in both the United Nations and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. And of course, it comes straight from the mouth of the Sultanate of Oman while he was addressing the UN at the second highest level conference to combat terrorism. And lo and behold, the Jihad Watch, on July 12th, which is today, an article comes out that the Muslim World League top dog, the terrorist attack on Samuel Paty, has nothing to do with Islam. And you find that extremely offensive, for one, but it's not just offensive. It's also a flat-out lie with regards to the murder of Samuel Paty. Samuel Paty was beheaded in France, a school teacher who was a victim of a Muslim girl, not just a French girl, but a young Muslim girl who lied about what the teacher had stated, what the teacher had said, what the teacher was showing with regards to the cartoons of Prophet Muhammad. He lied, and she lied. And you've got a 13-year-old who influenced the religion of peace, and now you've got the Muslim World League top dog, who happens to be from Saudi Arabia, who is in a campaign of disinformation and misinformation that was parroted by the Sultanate of Oman at the United Nations just last week. Mohammed Abdelkarim Alisa, Muslims must conform to the values of the Republic, translated from Mohammed Abdelkarim Alisa. Saudi Arabian Mohammed Abdelkarim Alisa, head of the Muslim World League, supports Emmanuel Macron in his fight against separatism. He is the champion of moderate Islam. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, new watchdog to restore Saudi Arabia's image, because after all, they did sponsor 19 Muslim men to fly planes into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon in 2001. And one of the few Muslim leaders to visit Auschwitz was Mohammed Abdelkarim Alisa. On the occasion of a visit to Paris, where he notably met Chief Rabbi Haim Karisa, he shares his vision on Islam in France with Lapointe and recounts the upheavals under the country. You're one of the few Muslim leaders to have supported Emmanuel Macron after the attack on Samuel Paty. Why? Mohammed Abdelkarim Alisa states, "It is a matter of my religion, intellectual and human conviction about where there is no hesitation. Violence and terrorism are everywhere and are committed by people who wrongly claim to be religious. The terror attack on Samuel Paty has nothing to do with Islam. Already in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, certain actions were prejudicial to religion and to the very person of the prophet, but he always remained indifferent because the Quran says not to turn around in front of these people." That's interesting because chapter 4, verse 84 is, "Go to war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on any but yourself, and provoke the believers." The right to caricature in France has sparked anger in several Muslim countries. Do you understand these reactions? We call on each individual living on French soil to comply with the values of the French Republic and its laws. At the same time, however, we believe that the French people, through their great historical heritage, cannot afford to blaspheme religious symbols Oh, but in the meantime, you've got Muslims that are burning churches. You have Muslims who are demanding that crosses be taken down, or that they're actually destroying churches. They're destroying religious symbols, Catholic, Roman Catholic religious symbols, Buddhist symbols. But that's okay for the Islamic world to blaspheme other religions. And again, remember, it's about supremacy and it's about domination. Because as Hamas Care's co-founder stated, Omar Ahmad, he stated, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America and the only religion in the world. In the world. The only religion in the world. So, Al, we have a campaign of Dawah now that's fully underway. The Islamic terrorist who beheaded Samuel Paty was yelling Allah Akbar. The 13-year-old girl, the student, falsely accused Samuel Paty of blaspheme. And as a result of her falsely accusing the teacher of blasphemy, Samuel Paty lost his life in the name of Islam. And you've got this sanitizing of Islam, whether it be in the United Nations, in the Organization of Islamic Cowards, or now we have it in the Muslim World League. But we shouldn't be surprised, because this is the issue today. And we got a call on the line. You want to take it?
Yeah, bring them on.
All right, we got 10 minutes, so good evening.
Hey,
welcome to...
it's Hank. I just I've been listening, and you brought up the voter stuff in Texas. I just read it. I'm about to puke hearing this. I mean, how is it possible that a complete party can walk off the job like that, charter flights to D.C., no less? I mean, I don't know what the recourse is, but I can tell you what it should be. I mean, Abbott should first of all say, okay, guys, you're all, and girls, you're all forfeiting your session pay, and if you can't do that, then you need to let everybody know, everybody in the state, what happened. And damn, I mean, if they're chartering flights, I sure as hell hope the state's not picking up that tab.
Right. Yeah,
and
who's paying for
and
that?
They don't have to wear masks on the plane.
If those are chartered, I could see that. You know what I mean? Those are chartered implies private flights. I mean, it still sucks, but I mean, hopefully they wore their masks in the facility, you know, in the hangar, because those are TSA facilities, don't you know?
Yeah, that's an asterisk on the whole story, but you're right. It is ridiculous that these elected officials just abdicate their responsibility and hightail it out of town to avoid a vote. The taxpayers should be furious.
Absolutely, they should be. I mean, what's the quorum in the U.S. House? Because then the GOP in the House should start doing that. Just say, oh, sorry, we're leaving. We're not going to vote on this. No quorum. Too bad. I mean, and not only that, the governor called them back for a special session, and they still walked out on that.
Yep.
So,
they abdicated their right to duty. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, guys, I also wanted to note the passing today of former Tampa, University of Tampa running back and WWE, WWF, and WCW star Paul Orndorff.
Oh.
Mr. Wonderful. Yeah, Mr. Wonderful
really?
Passed away today. Yeah,
did not know
71.
That.
71.
Wow.
He'd had some health issues, but, yeah, it's just kind of, you know.
God,
you know, I mean,
71.
Yeah, 71, and he'd had some issues, so. Anyway, I just had to pipe in when you mentioned the election stuff. I'll let you get back to real work and real stories. But
real quick, though, Hank, was Paul Orndorff part of the Four Horsemen at one time?
The WCW version, yes, I think he was. Or he might have been part of the group that until they reunited when it was like pretty – because he was a tag team champion with Paul Roma. It was called Pretty Wonderful. And I think – when the Horsemen came back, I think Orndorff, that was sort of a reaction to Orndorff having some injuries. So I think he may have been sort of semi-chased. Because, you know, when he was in WCW, he was sort of a face, not a heel. So
yeah.
That,
okay.
You know, so I think, you know, so So, but no, I don't. He may have been. I mean, I haven't followed it in so long, and I haven't really, you know. I mean, at that point, even it was starting to become like, okay, guys, this is, you know, they had already jumped the shark by that point.
So,
that is what, true.
What a night of sports, man. We had golf. We've got elections, and then we got, you know, WCW wrestling. So
and we got a guy and like, you know, I said I'm not going to talk about Major League Baseball on my show, but my God, Major League Baseball has even changed their rules so that what's his name, Ohtani, he can start as a pitcher, he can get yanked as a pitcher, but they'll still let him stay in the game as a DH or a fielder so that he doesn't, you know, because normally a player gets pulled, that's it. But so they're changing the rule just to allow him to be able to stay in the game as a DH or a fielder.
Well, you could swap him out as a fielder. I mean, you could swap out a pitcher for an outfielder and him go like play right field.
I think you can't do it for a DH. As I was reading,
gotcha.
The way I was reading it, he can't be a pitcher. You're either a pitcher or a DH. And if you do the dual role, normally under the rules, like in an American League game, if they did that, like if they pulled, then if he got pulled, then either they would have to pull him as the DH, or he has to be in the field and the pitcher would have to bat. I mean, that's the way I read it. So they're waiving that, which is kind of, you know, I mean, who knows, but it's still kind of cool that you got a guy that's really that talented to be able to do that nowadays when, you know, when they pull a guy after, you know, half of, you know, a guy gets to a 2-1 count and they pull a pitcher, you know, a batter can face three pitchers now in one at bat. Here's a guy that's not only pitching and fielding and hitting, but he's doing it all and not getting pulled, you know, so.
I think it takes away from the game, quite frankly. A pitcher should be like the old rules. A pitcher has to hit because pitchers are notoriously horrible hitters, and it affects the lineup. And then this designated DH, I was never a big fan of that. I always thought
it took away
from that.
I think that's one of those things now, though. I mean, in a sense, he's being wasted in the American League because of that, in one sense. But on the other hand, you know, he takes up three roster spots. I mean, you know, so I don't know how they balance that. Vito knows that better than I do because Vito's more into baseball, but you know, than
not,
I am. But
actually,
there is no way to balance.
I haven't been into baseball for the last 2 years. Ever since the New York Yankees decided to get rid of the Cage Smith statue, that was it for me. I'm done. And then, of course, when they pulled the All-Star game from Atlanta, Georgia, with this whole racist garbage.
Well, we're gonna talk about that Wednesday. So I'm going to talk about that. So tell everybody listen Wednesday because, of course, the liberal major liberal baseball in the city of Denver have. By gosh, as they say, if not for double standards, the left would have none. So
that's right.
You guys have a good one, great show. You're going to talk about Mrs. Thorzine on your show Wednesday at what time?
5:30 Wednesday. I don't know if I'm going to talk about that. I've got so much good stuff right now. I've actually got a guest coming on, a mother, not Felicia Goodson, who was on last year, but I have a mother of one of the Iowa Hawkeyes, who is going to talk about the name, image, and likeness legend, you know, that allows players to make money from their name, image, and likeness. And she's going to clarify, you know, a lot of people are, you know, terrified, you know, oh my God, this ruins the game. But after talking to her a bit on Twitter, it makes more sense. First of all, it's not done through the universities. You know, the universities aren't paying it out. Now you do have some recruiting stuff that makes me wonder with some of the private corporate stuff. But as she points, you know, as she's pointed out to me, she says, you know, look, it's not every kid's going to take advantage of it. Not every kid is geared to wanting to do it. So it's not where it's taking away from, you know, kid and all that. But the kids that really need it, that can really use it to support families, it allows them that latitude. So I think people will be interested to hear what she has to say. And she's also a hell of a cook, so she might give out some good recipes as well. So,
all right, great. That's 5:30 on Wednesday.
Athletes, hold on. The college athletes that are in the median to lower that are they're getting their scholarship pretty much. They're scholarship athletes. They're not going to get any endorsements.
No, exactly. You're right. But here's the thing about that, Al. What this really is, the way they did it, it was masterful in one sense because it totally does an end run around Title IX. You know, if the schools were paying the athletes, hell, they'd have to pay them all you know, Title IX athletes, you know, like women's golf, which, hey, some of them may be hot looking, but guess what? They don't bring much to the table in terms of revenue for the university, you know. Well, now, and of course, like I said, the woman softball catcher, I don't really see her going down to John's Chevrolet and getting all kinds of endorsements. But, you know, this way the players can make it, and it's not violating Title IX. So for those folks that have always been against Title IX, this is your chance to be happy about something. So.
All right, Hank, we'll tune in.
Very interesting topic.
Yeah,
Wednesday,
guys, have a good one. Great show. Yep, great show, guys.
Thanks, Hank.
Talk to you later.
Now,
so that's Hank Jones of Poly Sports. You can check out Hank on Wednesday evening at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Radio Free Kafiristan. Like I said, Wednesday is Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Thursday, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report and the author of the new book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. You can check out Paul's book at Amazon.com, and that's The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Friday, we have Andrew Harrod with his Conservative Friday. Saturday, the esteemed minister, Simon Dakdek, and the beautiful Christy, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Eric from Kafira stands back with his interfaith dialogue, the real interfaith dialogue. And, of course, Al and I will be back next Monday evening. I would like to thank Bigfoot for being here tonight, and check out Bigfoot at www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. A great blog spot. I subscribe to it every day. Enjoy it very much. You can read all kinds of international news, national news, some great stories in there. Bring it on, boy. Let's see you, boy, Ducky Northwest. Of course, you got Hank Jones with Poly Sports, our big fat soft underbelly. Which reminds me that you guys got to check out the Simone Nicole Show Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at Spreaker.com. That is the Simone Nicole Show, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We got Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. Check our show out on Fridays at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sue from New Mexico. Sue, thank you for tweeting out our show. And ladies and gentlemen, keep Sue and Annie in your thoughts and your prayers, okay, please. And Annie, we are praying for you, and hopefully we'll hear you on Friday. And I know it's been a tough week for you, so God bless you. And we had Gulp Dogs in the chat room earlier, and Paul Sutliff was in the chat room as well. Chief was in the chat room. Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And, of course, G-Ski and Dave with the Airwaves America, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. These are some of our friends who listen to the show, including Audrey Russo. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She has her Real Talk Radio. Some great guests on her show. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos. See you next week. Be here or be nowhere.
Thank you all for joining us. There is no voter suppression in America. There is no voter oppression in America. The uprising in Cuba is not due to the pandemic. Okay? It's communism. Communism steals your soul, it steals your heart, and it steals your being. So keep the people of Cuba in your thoughts and prayers. And listen, anybody can vote who's eligible to vote. Mama mia, don't buy that garbage. Thank you all for being here. Be safe. Be aware of your surroundings. Good night, folks.
Viva!
Go Italy! What's up, Italia?
Yes, it was my way.
Beautiful. right on the number.
I'm telling you.
Hey-o.
getting better.
That was,
you know, I know we got sidetracked with the voting issue, but I'll tell you, I'm watching Twitter, following Twitter, and every freaking day, Hillary Rodham Clinton is putting something out about the GOP oppressing the person's right to vote. And then Baghdad Bob Jensacki comes out yesterday and talks about voter oppression and voter suppression with some question that was forwarded to her. And then you got Biden, who's going up to Pennsylvania, and he's going to make some prepared speech reading from a teleprompter about voter oppression and voter suppression in Georgia and in Texas and in Florida. And it's a crock of crap. You know, yeah. It's one thing about stealing elections, but the flat-out lie with this propaganda campaign of deceit and disinformation, it's disgusting. It's un-American. And you know what? The Democrat Party today is anti-American and is anti-constitutional. End of story. I mean, they want to erase the Electoral College. They're programming, conditioning people to think that there's voter suppression and voter oppression. I don't know about you, Al, but I can remember back, you know, about 30, 40 years ago when people were voting, and maybe even 50 years ago, where you only had two ways to vote, absentee and in person. Today, oh my God, you've got early voting, mail-in voting, you've got the ability to vote 2 weeks prior to the election, and then you have the election day voting. I mean, we have so many methods to vote today, and just because the American people are lazy, but they've been conditioned to be lazy by this pollution of progressive politics.
No, wait till they try to float internet voting. That's going to be they're just trying to steal the election. They were successful last time, and they're going to keep doing what works. It's to be expected. And the Republican leadership, the establishment, for all intents and purposes, is quiet. I don't hear their voices. Maybe it's because the media is spiking them, but they need to find another way to start bitching and complaining about this. And calling out the Democrats for what they are. But I don't see it.
I'll tell you. I'm not buying it anymore.
We've been bitching about this for 15 years now, Republicans being silent.
10 years ago, I didn't buy it. And you know what? I get into it with my local representative, my congressional representative. And I didn't get into it. I wasn't being disrespectful. But I was flat out, I was tired of hearing, well, you know, the Democrats are spiking our ability to get the message out. But we're getting the message out. You know, we're going to come. And I finally said, you know, that's just not right. Okay, you guys have to find a way. If you're really passionate about this, you will find a way to get that message out. And there's absolutely no reason. There is no reason that they can't get the message out. And they're allowing the media to dictate who they are. They're allowing the Democrats to dictate who they are. And you know what? They're all part of the same system. The majority on the right and are nothing different than the left. And there are some outliers, certainly, but you know, it gets tiring. There are means of getting your information out. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible how lazy these people are. You know, I mean,
well, Trump did it.
Yeah.
Trump did it. He was successful. He bypassed the media and used Twitter better than any other politician. And then all of these establishment Republicans are stabbing him in the back every time he put out a tweet.
Yep.
Oh, well, he's too aggressive. I don't like the way he talks. He says mean things. But meanwhile, he's getting the message out. The media is forced to report on his tweets, which is exactly what he wants them to do. And then he was smart enough to bait him to report something that wasn't true, so we could call him out as a liar. It was brilliant, and it was great to watch. So,
well,
I don't
know. You know what? I firmly, as a result of this, I think the consequence is really simple. The 2016 election was an eye-opener for the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party never, ever wants that to happen again. Their chosen one, Hillary Rodham Clinton, was the one that was supposed to be the heir apparent to Barack Hussein Satoru Obama. And what they didn't anticipate was the American people actually speaking up. And why? Because Trump's message resonated. You know, Trump's positive message of America and America first and America being great resonated. That's what Americans want to hear. Americans understand that. That's what we, you know what, that's what we grew up to think, is that America is the greatest country in the world. And now you have a candidate for president who is opining that. And he has a vision and a message: lower taxes, less government, and making America great and be energy independent. And he followed through on that. Get government out of the way. And America will start producing. And yet we have a system, a corrupt cabal in Washington, D.C., that's beholden to foreign interests. And, you know, the Democrat Party are the masters of propaganda. And they don't want to happen tomorrow, and in 2022 as to what happened in 2016. And that's why we saw the ramp up of voter fraud, voter irregularities, whether it was in Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. All of those states were fraught with fraud. It was all by design. You know, how is it that Dominion now is refusing to open up their voting machines to inspection? Excuse me, we're talking about a public election. You know, if you seriously want to put to rest and put to bed this notion that there was no fraud, you have nothing to hide, especially since it was a public vote, a public election. And now you're saying you don't want to open up your machines to inspection? Well, what do you got to hide? So was General McInerney correct when he said that there are foreign servers that had the capability to change votes, to manipulate votes? And now we're hearing about Arizona that there were easy ways to change and manipulate votes from the voting systems. There's speculation, certainly, but are the facts going to come out? Are we going to see that there was rampant fraud in Arizona, in Maricopa County, and in other counties? You already have some issues with 100, you know, with some of the 157 counties in Georgia. it's going to be interesting.
Yep, I tell you, it's enough to make your head spin.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you, with everything that's going on, and then of course you got the vaccines and the, you know, I see where some of the American golfers aren't going to the UK because of the COVID protocols. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
I
saw that.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
surprised. I did not see that coming. I thought everything was getting back to normal. So
I didn't either.
So were they vaccinated or unvaccinated, these two that decided they didn't want to go?
Well, good question. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, you know, Bubba Watson was one. And then the Ryan Moore qualified by virtue of finishing tied for second. And he had, you know, he was eligible to go, and he declined the invitation. So, I mean, something's going on. And you know what? Are they making these people go through testing, you know, the Chinese virus testing, even if they were vaccinated? Because now it's become apparent that people who are vaccinated are still contracting the Chinese virus, which, you know, isn't it kind of comical and ironic that all this campaign to get people vaccinated, suddenly restrictions are put forth even if you've been vaccinated, because people who have been vaccinated now are contracting the Chinese virus? See,
yep,
this
makes
this
it scarier thing. That they're even coming to everybody. They're coming to people's houses, the government. And according to Jen Psaki, these are not government workers. They are activists and people who
yeah.
care.
A clergy.
Right.
They could be
clergy.
It could be a
yeah.
pastor. Yeah, people who care.
Well, stay the fuck off of my yard.
That's exactly right. I'm just going to slam. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to slam the door in their face. Excuse me, we're here about a vaccine. Go fuck yourself. Goodbye. I mean, you know, this is not communist Russia. This isn't communist China. Leave.
Go F yourself, father. Get off my yard.
Oh my God! I honest to goodness, the erosion of liberties and freedoms. You know, in 2001, the 9/11 attack, we lost liberties or freedoms there in the name of national security. Now, in the name of a pandemic, the government is taking full advantage of that and is confiscating your rights. And now we're going to have the Gestapo come to the door. Have you been vaccinated? We need to know. I'm sorry, but that's none of your business. We need to know. I mean, are you going to wear something on your sleeve? I mean, you're going to come in a brown shirt? I mean, what will Dictator Biden have his activists, you know? And that's all it. And with this administration, it's all about slogans and sound bites, you know, activists and a slogan and sound bite for voting. And, you know, it's just, it's one freaking lie after another right now. And it's amazing how they put this entire campaign of propaganda on fast track and how they're dismantling everything that was put in place the last 4 years is being dismantled. It's unbelievable.
Well, according to Jen Psaki, they like us and they don't want us to die. They want to save our lives. They want to save the lives of our family and save the lives of those people in the community that we may come in contact with. We care. We don't want you to die, so you need to get vaccinated. And I tell you, on like conversations on Twitter, Facebook, social media, I'm hearing a lot more that as far as that it's in the public interest to get vaccinated. It may not be necessary, but it's morally, they're using moral arguments that for the community.
It's your patriotic duty.
Patriot, that's it. I couldn't put my finger on it, but yeah, patriotic duty. That's scary stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right out of China.
Oh, right out of 1984. Once you have people reporting on their neighbors and strangers, community people you don't even know, just narking out your neighbors, you got family talking to the government about, you know, your crazy uncle that may be doing something wrong, that he's an extremist. They're trying to do that too. Do you have an extremist in your family? Let us know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I read that yesterday, as a matter of fact. I was like, yeah. Wow. I mean, this is a dictatorship, man. This is what the communists do. Rat on your neighbor, rat on your relative.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I can guarantee you that dope with the coexist sticker on their car is not an extremist. We think they are. If we were to deport them, nothing would happen. They're coming after us.
They are. Yep. It's just a matter of time before, you know, free speech is no longer free. And we already know that because you have the Biden administration, key people in the Biden administration who want to redefine what is hate speech. They will determine, okay, what speech is considered hate speech. You know, just like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who gets big bucks from Hamas Care and from Muslim Brotherhood. Now, you know, they're the defender of this anti-American movement, you know, this dominating force in America. And they determine what is considered hate speech. And if it doesn't fall within the liberal, you know, Marxist guidelines or the anti-American guidelines, they will go ahead and call you out and call you a hater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did you see who Biden nominated for SBA Deputy Administrator of the Small Business Administration?
No, I did not.
Some Muslim, a Muslim guy from Engage, Dilawar Saeed, political group out of South Florida.
Oh,
bad people. I mean, really, they're extremists. And Biden just nominated this dope to SBA.
That is a payoff to the Muslim Brotherhood and to Hamas Care.
Mm-hmm.
If he's with M-Gage, he's got direct ties to Hamas Care and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
And that is a payback. That is an oh, my God. Wow.
Dude, you would find that extremely interesting. In fact, I'll put it in the chat room, the link.
Thank you.
And you probably already saw it. I don't know if you've seen it or not.
I am going to follow up on that, and that's something that we'll talk about next week, because that, you know, here we go again. You know, the Biden administration, you know, they hold near and dear the Muslim Brotherhood, and M-Gage, of all things, M-Gage.
Yeah.
And the Small Business Administration. I mean, geez. There's no words. There's freaking no words anymore.
No. They're a bad group. Very bad people.
Holy cow. Anti-Israel group.
Holy kingfish.
I mean, this guy's anti-Israel, for crying out loud.
Who isn't?
I mean.
Come on.
Oh, my
cool
God.
Thing. All the cool kids are anti-Israel.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Right,
talk
Bob.
About payoff.
Yeah.
You take it easy. You know, thanks for a good show. And sorry we didn't get too much into the Muslim world one, but this is interesting. So
No. This Marxism stuff is, as far as I'm concerned, number one. Number two is the Islam stuff. It's been reversed in my world. This Marxism stuff, immediate threat. Because nothing, once that takes hold, nothing else really matters.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Sue, thank you for tweeting out the show today, and I hope you're doing well. You take care of yourself. Al, I'll talk to you later, all right?
Prayers.
All right, man.
All right, take it easy.
Ciao.
Adios.
Thank you for using Blog Talk.